You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Week two of Better Now, which is on friendship. So I'm just going to pray for us, and then Anna, our amazing HSM intern, is going to come up. So would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our greatest friend. And Lord, you laid down your life for your friends and showed us what that brotherly love looks like. And God, we pray that you would open up our eyes and ears to your word, that you would fill Anna with joy and confidence in you as she shares it. And Lord, we pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would inspire and guide us to honor you and others in our friendships with each other. We love you, we give you tonight, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, that was a really entertaining game to watch. The faces, love that. That was just really great touch. Like Claire said, my name is Anna. I'm the HSM intern and one of the senior girls' life group leaders. And yeah, I'm always super excited to be able to share with you guys, and especially this topic, which you guys know if you've been here since last week, we got into a new series on relationships, and we're continuing that this week. So I'm just gonna dive right in. So God created us for relationships. From the very beginning, he said that man is not meant to be alone. And yet we live in a world where we are constantly surrounded by people, but still feel lonely. We have friends on social media, at school, who we sit with at church, and even who we communicate with over the phone. But we still find ourselves longing for something deeper, something real, and something meaningful. Because the truth is, relationships of all kinds are essential to our walk with Christ. But at the foundation of every relationship is friendship. Now, I want to say before we go any further into this, I am not an expert in friendship. I'm still learning, but I have walked through seasons of friendship that have grown into something deeper and something more meaningful, and I've also walked through seasons that were really hard. And what I've seen in this is that when we do friendships God's way, it changes everything. So if you were here last week, like I said, you might remember that Claire and Gavin started us off in this series we're currently in called Better Now, where they gave us 6 tips within dating relationships. And within that, they shared that this really good rule of thumb that before we get into any romantic relationship with someone, you should know that person and be friends with them for at least 6 months. And pulling from that, it just shows that friendship is one of the most basic forms of love that Jesus calls us into, not just with him, but with one another as believers. In fact, in the Greek, friendship translates to philia, which is going to be up here on the screen, and that means close friendship or brotherly love. It encompasses care and compassion, loyal love based on shared values, mutual respect, and common pursuits. In our case, our common pursuit here at HSM is Christ. God never intended for us to walk this faith journey alone. He designed us for connection, community, and encouragement. But deep, meaningful friendships don't just happen. They require intentional effort from both people. So today, we're talking about how God calls us into deep and meaningful friendship. And here's 5 requirements to experience those deepened friendships. Like I said, friendships are not made overnight. They're not meant to be a surface level, and God calls us to have deep and meaningful friendships. And in order to create those, it requires intentionality from both people. In Proverbs 16:26, it reads, "The appetite of laborers works for them. Their hunger drives them on." In context, this verse is about physical hunger, how our need for food motivates us to work. In biblical times, it meant farmers working in their fields because they needed to harvest their crops to survive. But this principle applies to friendship. God created us for community. That built-in desire for connection is what drives us to seek deep and meaningful relationships. So how can we actively pursue that? Have you ever heard of the phrase, to know and be known? That's what friendship really is. As Christians, we should strive to truly know others, but we should also allow ourselves to be known by them. Friendship, like any relationship, is a two-way street. Both people have to reach out. That might look like genuinely checking in on someone's week, initiating plans, or simply asking how they're really doing. And honestly, this part matters a lot. Have you ever been the only one reaching out? Always the first to text, always the one making the plans? After a while, that gets exhausting. And that's why intentionality has to come from both sides. We all have the same desire to need and be needed. Which brings me to my next point, which is availability. And in 1 John 3:16 through 20, it reads, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our heart condemns us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Love is not just something we say, it's something that we show. And sometimes we say we don't feel connected to our life group, to our friends, to our community. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, how available am I actually being? Do I make time for people? And when I show up, am I showing up emotionally, mentally, spiritually, or am I just there physically? Availability means allowing yourself to be inconvenienced, because love is sacrifice. Jesus doesn't just love us when it's convenient. He laid down his life, and while we are not being asked to die for our friends, we are being asked to lay down our preferences, our time, and our comfort. There will be moments when a friend asks you for help, and you simply don't feel like it. You're tired, you have other plans, or you'd rather stay home. For example, I have friends that ask me to pick them up or drive them to the LAX airport. And if you've ever done that one, it is a trek. I'm talking like 5 hours sometimes. And I'm not gonna lie, I especially dislike the part where I'm in the car alone, whether it be on the way there or on the way back. But I know that showing up for them in that moment makes them feel loved and cared for. Sometimes I lay down what I would prefer, which is being at home, and I choose to show up, because friendship isn't just about being served, it's about serving. Our mindset shifts from what am I getting out of this to how can I love this person well right now. And when we both live that way, that's when friendships become deep and meaningful. And that's when we choose to show up and serve one another consistently, something begins to grow. Which brings me to my next point, honor and respect. In Romans 12, verses 9 through 10, the NIV version of the Bible reads, "Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves." But I really like how the ESV version of the Bible reads this, and it says, "Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, abhor what is evil." Thank you, David. "Hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor." Which brings us back to the idea of brotherly love, which we talked about earlier when we looked at what friendship means in the Greek. We must honor one another and respect one another, not just with our actions, but also with our words. That means not speaking illy of our friends to others. And while, yes, there is such a thing as needing to vocal process, ask yourself if you're doing it to figure out how you're going to go to that person with those frustrations, or are you doing it to gossip? Is your intent honorable to God and honorable to that person? And within our actions, are they showing others that we care for them and are being honorable of our time with them? For example, not being on your phone when you're hanging out with your friends. Be in the moment, not on technology. Before we get into my next point, I want to share a quick little story and begin with prefacing that I am not a perfect friend. I've messed up and I'm still learning, but I've seen how when God is at the center of a friendship, there is always room for grace and reconciliation. And I think sometimes we understand truth best when we see it lived out. So, a few years ago, I went out to dinner with some friends. I was distracted. I was on my phone and not fully present. About a week later, I had deleted Snapchat for a while, but then I re-downloaded it. And I saw that one of my friends sent me a video. So I opened it, and it was about her venting about me. But the kicker is, it was definitely not meant for me, and that was very obvious in the video. So I just went to her, and I asked her, and I said, hey, I don't think that video was meant for me, but you were talking about me. What was up with that? She immediately apologized, and she said that she was just frustrated, and that she, in fact, did not mean to send that to me. And honestly, she had every single right to be frustrated. My actions did not match my intentions. But I was also hurt, not because she vented, but because she didn't come to me first, or at all. I wanted the chance to grow and apologize for what I had done, and that was not possible when she didn't come to me and with that hurt. At the end of the day, we both owned our parts. I apologized for being distracted, and she apologized for not coming to me directly. And instead of ending our friendship, it actually strengthened it. And still to this day, she is one of my best friends. And because more than likely, if we had not gone through that and handled it with grace, we might not have been friends because there would have been tension. But that brings me to my next point, navigating conflict. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7, I'm going to be reading through the ESV version. It says, If I speak the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, as so to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own ways. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And here's a lie that we sometimes believe. If there's conflict, it must not be a real or deep friendship. But the truth is actually the opposite. Conflict often reveals depth. It shows that we care. It shows that there is investment. And you don't fight for things you don't value. The question isn't whether conflict will happen, because it will. The question is, what is your heart posture when it does? With Kaylee, we had a choice. We could have avoided the awkwardness, we could have let the pride step in, but instead, we both chose honesty and humility. I owned where I was wrong, and she owned where she was wrong. We talked it through face to face, and instead of it letting grow into resentment, we talked face to face instead of letting it grow into resentment. And that's what love looks like in conflict. Love doesn't insist on its own ways. That means sometimes we need to lay down our pride. Love is not irritable or resentful, and that means we don't keep score. Love endures, and that means we don't always walk away the moment it gets uncomfortable. Healthy conflict handled with love strengthens a friendship. Deep and meaningful friendships aren't conflict-free. They're committed to working through conflict with Christ-like love. But navigating conflict well requires something even deeper, which brings me to my last point, is that it requires forgiveness. In Proverbs 26:7, it reads, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Sometimes the people closest to us are the ones who hurt us the most, not because they're enemies, but because we deeply care. Just as Christ forgives us, he calls us to forgive others. You can navigate conflict, you can communicate well, but if you don't forgive, resentment will slowly take root. And resentment always creates distance. Forgiveness doesn't mean pretending it didn't hurt. It means deciding not to let the moment define the entire friendship. And sometimes forgiveness is a process. And if you're struggling to forgive, bring it to God. Be honest with him. And if it still feels heavy, bring in somebody trustworthy. Look at your leaders, for example. They're wise, safe people who want to talk and walk with you through those hard situations. Don't shy away from asking for help. Bring them into that conflict and bring them into that forgiveness. Not every conflict will resolve perfectly, and sometimes a relationship may look different afterward, but that's okay. What's not okay is holding on to bitterness. Because forgiveness doesn't just free them, it frees you. Conflict reveals depth of a friendship, and forgiveness sustains it. Now, this isn't a perfect how-to guide on being a better friend, but it is a starting place. If we choose to be intentional about reaching out and being present, if we make ourselves available mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, if we honor and respect our friends with our words and actions, if we navigate conflict honestly and directly, and if we choose to forgive even when it's hard, we are already stepping in to the kind of deep and meaningful friendship that God calls us to. Because when we do friendship God's way, it doesn't change our relationship, just change our relationships, it changes us. And as we head into life groups tonight, we're going to continue this conversation about deep and meaningful friendships. And my prayer is that it doesn't just apply to your friendships outside of HSM, but it begins right here within your life groups. I am going to pray us out, and then we will head into life group time. All right. Dear Lord, thank you so much for tonight and for this time that we get to be together in community. I pray that as we go into life groups, we can continue to dissect this idea of more deep and meaningful friendships with one another, Lord. And I pray that we will be able to be challenged, but also hold each other accountable and lift up each other in this, Lord. You're so good, and it's in your holy and mighty name. Amen.